My name is Quadre Williams. For you guys that don't know me, I'm from the Jersey Ministry, and I've been a disciple for 17 years. 17 years of good times, have my ups and downs, but God is always faithful. And so I'm thankful to be able to share just my experiences in this area. And like I said before, I hope it is impactful to all of you. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And so what does it mean to be pure of heart? Well, I came up with a couple of definitions. A pure heart is a heart that has been cleansed from sin. That's one. A second definition is a pure heart is a changed heart. And third definition is a pure heart is an unmixed heart. Unmixed with what? Unmixed with sin. And it's kind of that last one that I want to focus on the most, that last definition, because if you are a Christian, then God has really cleansed your heart from sin. I know before I became a Christian, I loved sin. I didn't think about sin. I just sinned all the time. And it was just my natural default. But after becoming a believer, God really did something to me radically in that area. And he really did cleanse my heart from sin. And so that is just the grace of God. And a pure heart is a changed heart. So I know for me, my heart that was once inclined and bent towards sin is now inclined and bent toward God. And so I really do want to honor God and to really please God with how I live and what I say and what I do. That's just the thrust of my life. And for us as believers, that's just the thrust of our lives. God just really changes the direction and the tone and the pace of what we love. And like I said, the third part is what I really wanted to focus in on the most. A pure heart is an unmixed heart, unmixed with sin. This is where, for me, is where I struggle the most. And I can probably say that you guys who are in this room, you guys probably struggle in this area where having sin is always enticing us and drawing us in. And it can be at times, I know for me, it can trip me up. It can look so appealing, and it can look like this is what I need to do. And I can get, my heart can become mixed with sinful desires. So I'll give you something about myself in this area of purity, just my history. Well, before I was a Christian, I had no concept of what purity was, sexual purity at least. I had no concept of it. I was raised in a Christian home, and so Mom would just try to, we went to church every Sunday school and church. And while the lessons were good, I learned a lot of things, it wasn't my heart. And so I just remember growing up and having cable TV and Mom just always saying, "You can't watch TV after like 9 o'clock, no cable after 9, because after 9 was when all the raunchy sexual shows came on." And of course, me being who I would immediately disobey her to watch all those things that I knew I shouldn't watch, but I wanted to watch. And so I did that. I remember in the area of music, just growing up, loving hip hop. And I remember one time I bought a CD and I didn't realize that it was edited, and I played the CD and I was like, "Oh, this is edited." I went right back to that store and bought the unedited one because I wanted to feast on all the cursing, all the sexual innuendo, I wanted to hear all of that. I wanted that to play in my mind because that's just who I was. And once I became a teen, pornography became a huge issue. I just wanted to feast on that because it was something new. And it just fed my desires for lust and my desire to objectify the opposite sex. And so I didn't realize at the time what all this impurity was doing to me. It really took root in my heart at a very, very early age. And a lot of the images that I put into my mind at that time, even to this day, I can struggle with, because sexual sin has deep, deep roots. And the more you indulge it, the deeper the roots go. And so by the time I was 25, Romans chapter 1, verse 18, verse 26 was my life. And I just want to read it to you. It says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." And so, you know, when I read this scripture, that was just a snapshot of my life. I simply had given myself over to impurity. Impurity was, in fact, an idol in my life. It was something that I just lived for, and I wanted more of it. It was insatiable, and I didn't have a desire to stop. I knew that there was something wrong, that I probably shouldn't be thinking this way, but I had no power to resist that call when it came to me. And you know, I recently came across a great definition of what an idol is. I'm gonna say it twice. An idol is anything we depend on to meet the deep needs of the heart, love, security, worth, or significance, in an attempt to find security in something other than God. And I'm gonna read it again, like I said, because it's a great definition. An idol is anything we depend on to meet the deep needs of the heart, love, security, worth, or significance, in an attempt to find security in something other than God. And as I look back, especially over my pre-Christian life, I had made impurity an idol. And I was looking to impurity to really fill a deep need that I had. There was a deep hole in my heart, a deep longing in my heart. And I wanted to find significance, and I wanted to find meaning. And I was looking in all the wrong places. And the more I gave in to impurity, the deeper that hole went, the deeper the chasm went. And so God, in his mercy, 17 years ago, decided to pluck me out of that slimy pit that I was in. And by his grace, I was saved. And, you know, ever since that time, it has been open warfare against sin. It's been open warfare against, for me, the impurity that was so deeply rooted in my mind and in my heart and in my character. These things were just deeply rooted. And so God, in his love and his mercy, his grace, his Holy Spirit, had to really show me how deep it was rooted and how he had to work to unroot it. And so I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, I just started going through a rough time spiritually. I just began to think like friends had passed me by, like they had gotten married and I was just still stuck single. And I was like, I really began to, my trust in God began to wane. And I really began to get hard and just indifferent toward God. And I saw as those things were beginning to happen to me that Satan was using that to bring back that idol of impurity that was so easy for me to run to in the past. You know, I stopped being thankful. I stopped being thankful for the things that God had given me. And when I stopped being thankful, it was easy for me to complain. It was easy for me to see flaws and imperfections and in God and what he wanted me to do. And it was easy for me to just turn inward and just turn inward to impurity and to lust, to really feel an unhappiness that was in me. True, I would go to church, I would serve, I would do the things that I had always done since I had been a believer. But in my heart, I was really, there was an anger towards God and there was an indifference toward God. And I just noticed throughout that, because it was about 3 years I went through that. And as I was going through that struggle, I just realized that it was easy for me to run to sin and get comfort from that instead of running to God and to get comfort from him. And I just had all types of thoughts of thinking, you know what, God, you've forgotten me. I deserve it. This is not that bad. I want to do things my way, God. I know what's best for me. And Satan was using all of that to kind of split me and to move me away from God. But you know, even when we're not faithful, God is faithful. And God knew that I had an idol of impurity that was starting to creep back in my heart, and he wanted to rip it down. And one of the ways that God did that was by reminding me of his word. And I want to just say, if we're going to fight against our idols and the impurity that can be so, that can easily entrench into our lives, being in the word is a great defense against it. In Psalm 119, verse 9 through 6, I'll read it. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes. As one rejoices in great riches, I meditate on your precepts. You see, what I was doing was when I was going through my time of difficulty, my season of spiritual low point, I had put the truth aside and I embraced the lie. And if for me and for, I guess, for all of you, if we're going to stay pure and be absolutely pure, we must embrace the truth. And the truth is found in the Word of God. Satan wants to rob us of that, because that's a true way to defend ourselves against his schemes and his attacks against us. And so I just want to encourage all of us to remember that God's word is a first line defense against impurity and remaining pure. I think a second way that helped me was being thankful. Just being thankful for what God had done for me. God has just been amazing. And when I remember all the victories that God had given me, it filled me up with gratitude. And even though that season of my life, I was struggling and it was very hard, remembering everything that God had done for me, just not as a Christian, but as a non-Christian to my whole life, it filled me with gratitude. And you know, that gratitude can go a long way in saying no to impurity. And I just would like to challenge everyone who, when there's seasons in your life where your purity becomes an issue and you're tempted to go left, I would encourage you all just to make a list of everything that you're thankful for. Everything, and it can be small things. Thankful for the things that God has done for you in your life. And that will push that desire to be impure back. And it has a cleansing effect on you. And it definitely moves you to saying no. It moved me to saying no to impurity. It was easier to fight against impurity when I had a grateful heart instead of a heart that was complaining and jealous and filled with envy. It was much easier for me to resist the sin of impurity when I could see all that God had done for me. And so I want to thank you guys for listening, certainly. And now Lameka will share her part of the presentation. Thanks, guys.
Hi, my name is Lameka Holmes, and I am from the Brooklyn region. I've been a Christian for a little over 20 years, and today I'm going to share three things that have helped me on my journey toward being pure. The first is connecting with God. The second is connecting with people. And the third is remembering God's love and his grace. One of the ways that I connect with God is through prayer. I've learned how to identify my emotions and present them to God in prayer, and it has been so helpful, specifically when it comes to being pure and living a life that is pleasing to him and holy. My emotions help me to identify the way I'm experiencing the world around me. So when I have emotions of joy and peace and happiness and, you know, all those positive emotions, that's a clue to me that I'm thriving and things are going well around me and I can continue in that environment. But when I have negative emotions of fear or anxiety or of frustration, that's a sign that something in my environment is off and it needs to change. And so I'm glad that I've been able to allow my emotions to help me gauge what I'm actually experiencing. You know, like that has been so helpful to be able to have my emotions almost kind of like be a compass to help me to see if I'm moving in the right direction or if I need to retract and make some changes. While growing up, I learned how to stuff my emotions. I didn't want to feel anything. I didn't want to feel good emotions or bad emotions. So I taught myself how to become numb. I'm so glad I learned that lesson of the fact that my emotions are necessary because they teach me about what I'm experiencing in my environment and if I need to continue or if I need to switch gears. And so I'm going to share a quick story and how if I did not know how to identify my emotions and handle them appropriately, it definitely could have led to me falling into the temptation of being impure. And so last week was really tough for me. I had a disagreement with someone in my life that I'm extremely close to. And the disagreement we had led to immense hurt feelings. I was actually hurt to the core. And one of the things I did to deal with that is to take a walk to Prospect Park. And as I walked there, I could feel the emotions of sadness, of frustration, of disappointment. And so I took that walk and I prayed to God. I cried out to God. And it was extremely helpful because it gave me a chance to just get that negative energy out of my spirit. And so in addition to growing up, learning how to stuff my emotions, I also grew up pretty much as an only child, just me and my mom. And so I was not surrounded by a lot of people growing up. I learned how to function pretty much, you know, very independently and on my own. And so as an adult, I really had to learn the value of having friendships, to learn the value of having people in my life, and to learn the value of having bonds with people, but not just any people, people that are positive, people that are loving, people that are encouraging. And this topic of having connection with people has been crucial in my journey towards being pure. I've learned that God designed me to be a relational being just as He is. So when I am not in relationship with people, when I don't have close connection with people, that means I'm probably isolated. And being isolated is not God's design for me. Being isolated actually produces me to have a lot of selfish thoughts, for me to just be consumed with myself. And so when it comes to purity, I've actually been able to kind of gauge when I need to be around people. And in those moments, I actually reach out to hang out with someone, to go get ice cream or go take a walk, because I know that if I don't respond to my need for connection, it may lead to me actually giving into the temptation of being impure. And so I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for all the things that God has taught me about, one, His design, right? Like His design for my life, for me to be close to Him, for me to be close to people, for me to have deep bonds, deep connections. But also I'm glad that I've learned how those things that God wants in place for me to be there, to be present, actually support my goal and my desire to be pure before Him. The last thing I'd like to share about that has helped me on my journey towards being pure is remembering God's love and His grace. So on this journey, I've had highs, I've had lows, I've had victories, and there's been days when I gave in to the temptation of being impure. The scripture that has really helped me during those low moments remember God's love and grace is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. The scripture reads, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." What I found is that in those low moments, God has His arms open wide, ready, willing, and desiring for me to come back to Him and turn towards Him. I am His treasured possession. I am His daughter. I am completely loved by Him. And when I fall short, when I choose to not do His will, and when I choose to give in to the temptation of being impure, I can always be different. I can always repent. I can always change. I can always remember God's love and grace for me and actually turn towards Him and receive that grace that He wants to give me so freely. I can come to Him confidently, and I love knowing that about God. I'm just glad that we had this time together. I'm glad that I was able to share with you some of the things that have helped me along my journey, connecting with God through prayer, giving my emotions to Him, allowing Him to shift my emotions so that I can thrive and be in a state where I can honor Him and not allow my emotions to lead me towards being impure has been beneficial. connecting with people, ensuring that I have those deep-rooted connections has been a game changer for me. And in those moments when I fall short, remembering God's love and His grace. Thank you so much for listening. I am grateful for this time that we got to share together. And I hope that you will remember that God loves you and that He is rooting for you every single day on your journey towards being pure. Bye.
Thank you, Lameka, for your insight and for your words. Pray help us all.